Maybe I'll just share in the last few minutes of the day a little sneak preview of tomorrow and a little bit of the theme of the, what at least I had in mind of the theme of the retreat. The funny thing was, Richard, that first question about drifting and then the response about present time awareness. I had a poem sitting in front of me before the sitting. It's from the poems of the nuns, and it's called Another Sama. Maybe some of you have heard this. This is a nun speaking. After 25 years on the path, I'd experienced almost everything except peace. When I was young, my mother told me that I would find true happiness only in marriage. Remembering her words all those years later, something in me began to tremble. This is for Amy. Remembering her words all those years later, something in me began to tremble. I gave myself to the trembling, and it showed me all the pain this little heart had ever known, and how countless lives of searching had brought me at last to the present moment, which I happily married. So after I had read that poem, just sitting down to lead the sitting, deciding whether I would share it or not with you, throughout the first minutes of the sitting, I was just feeling the experience of being married to the present moment. And a word came to my mind that a friend of mine I don't know how many of you have sat with her, Sharda Rogel. She's a colleague of mine from Spirit Rock Meditation Center. She has been teaching annually in New Zealand for many years and has been exposed to some of the Maori, I guess that's how you pronounce it, language. And they have a word, a Maori word, and the word is Tarangarewe. And the word Tarangarewe means the right to be here. And it's usually used in association with the land, the earth. But it has to do with also the feeling of being rooted, being, I'm here, like I'm meant to be here. How do I know I'm here? And that the feeling of that, so established that it's without doubt, there's a certain confidence. I have the right to be here. And there's a felt sense to it. And this is the promise of practice when we get used to living in present time. Get used to having our mind and body in harmony. And I don't mean in our mind, our body healthy all the time. It means to have our mind and body in the same location. There, what comes with that is a feeling of Tarangarewe, the right to be here. And when I thought of the title of this retreat, the Wings of Awakening, you hear that phrase a lot. It's the understanding that the practice of awakening needs both the wing of wisdom and the wing of love and compassion. And when I've reflected on this over the many years, what's come to me is a thought that the most loving thing that we can do in our life, what is most loving and compassionate, is to be wise. And the reverse is also true. the most wise way of being with ourselves and our condition is to be loving. So it's wise to be loving, and it's loving to be wise. But what do we mean by wisdom? The basic wisdom that we want to come to, and what the Buddha came to, is getting back to the idea of happiness, is the understanding that nothing can make you happier than you are, fundamentally. That all search for happiness some other time, some other thought, some other place, that all search for happiness is a kind of misery and leads to more. I stole a little bit of that from a teacher named Nisargadatta. He says, all search for happiness is misery and leads to more misery. The only happiness worth that name is the natural happiness of being conscious, being aware. So the most loving thing we can do is navigate what it means to be here, to learn about all of the ways that we quite innocently leave here, hoping for a better past in many cases, hoping for a future that unfortunately never arrives, and forgetting that time is only now. Future thought right now, past thought right now, there's really only an unfolding now. And if we could really learn that everything happens here, we would see that nothing can improve on where we're actually sitting. And with the cessation, the fading away of that search for happiness, the fading away of resisting what's actually here, we just organically fall into Taringa Way Way. This is where I belong. So I wanted to elaborate more. We don't really have time to do that. But in the meantime, in the transition to tomorrow, you might consider, if you do love yourself, and I think you do, otherwise you wouldn't be here, that you... Let's see how I can say this. That you get used to being present. That you enjoy seeing tonight and between this evening and tomorrow, seeing the way your mind habitually wants to be somewhere else. And let every single moment that you see your mind wanting to be elsewhere, let it remind you of your love of being right here. Let it put it to good use. Don't judge it. Don't be hard on yourself about it. Use it as an opportunity to just put your mind back in your body. I don't think there's anything more loving than to stay here, if you can. At first, your mind's going to scream, as it probably did today. Like, get me out of here. How many people planned your escape? We do that because we love ourselves. Because we think that if it's uncomfortable, there's something wrong. So again, that same teacher in Nisargadatta says, everything you need is within you. only you must regard yourself with reverence and love. Self-hatred, self-distrust are grievous errors. It says your flight from pain, your search for pleasure is a sign of love for yourself. But what I plead with you is this: make love of yourself perfect. In other words, just stay here. Give yourself infinity. Give yourself Tarang Away. And realize that you don't need to go away. You don't need to go. You don't need to leave. That's kind of the short version. So you could count tonight if you're interested. Maybe this is, I'm just making this up on the fly. You could count how many moments that you want to be somewhere else. And then if you're going to interpret that, interpret it as, this is how I've been trying to love myself. But it just doesn't work. It's not loving, actually. It's not loving. So it's so difficult to actually abbreviate this, but it was fun to get started. And tomorrow we'll both elaborate a little bit more on the how loving it is to be wise and what wisdom actually means in the Buddha Dharma sense, because I just scratched a little surface. And then we'll elaborate a lot in the later afternoon about why it's the most wise thing that we can do is be loving. And so that'll be the afternoon. And then maybe you'll leave here just inspired to love yourself and everybody else and all of our habits. Okay, great being with you today. Let's just sit quietly for 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And even though we're halfway home, I think there has been some value to us being together. I think we've accrued a little merit, some goodness, some blessings. And we can reflect on the sincerity of our practice, all those seeds of awakening planted. And we can gather the goodness, the blessings, the merit. And then remember that we don't live apart from all the beings in this world. And so we can freely, lovingly share the blessings of our practice, radiate them in all directions, to all beings in all circumstances. With a wish that everyone can have happiness and peace and the causes of happiness and peace. Everybody can be free of so much suffering and the causes of suffering. That everyone can recognize the Tarang Away, the sacred happiness that's without sorrow, here and now. And a wish that all beings can find the serenity or equanimity to be able to meet the inevitable difficulties and joys with less clinging and condemning. A deep wish that our practice today and every day is dedicated to the benefit of all. May all beings grow in love. May all beings grow in wisdom. May all beings be liberated.